guess y'all are waiting on me. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship. Excited to be together. We would like to find out who is in worship this morning. It's a very simple thing that we do. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you would please help us, take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started, and we ask the first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you so much for your help with that. Just to draw your attention to a couple of things, you will see upcoming events and opportunities for the week. Just make note of a couple of those. Vogler & Sons Funeral Home is sponsoring a pre-needs funeral luncheon on August 17th at 11:30 in Smith Hall. They need to know by tomorrow if you're going to attend, so please contact church office or Matt and let them know. That's a very, very important service that they provide, and we're glad that we can be part of that ministry. Other things that are listed, just make note, there are no Sunday evening activities this week or tonight. Just make note of that. Why are you laughing at me? I go from vacation for a week, and Mary's laughing at me already. I'm ready to go back to the beach. You got Bible study?
I do.
Oh, we got Bible study, other things, many things that are still happening in the life of our church. Draw one thing. When we have baptism and communion, as is our custom, we take up a benevolence offering. And this money is outside of the general tithe and the budget that we have. This goes for needs that we have that come up at the last minute, people that are in need of a variety of things. And so just as a response to what happens for baptism communion, we invite those who are able and willing. There will be young people at both of these exits to collect your benevolence offering. And if those you're able to do that, would be great. Okay, I think that's all the announcements. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. We're so thankful for your presence, especially. If you're a guest, thank you for the information you put on the pew pad a moment ago. We'd like to give something to you, so just raise your hand right where you are if you're a guest. The ushers will recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. You'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening, and then a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. I had the opportunity to take a few days with the family at the beach, and I've never been much of a fisherman. Fishing's hard. Fishing is not easy. But one of the things that fishing got me to do, I had a friend who had a dock out in the Sound, and they let us fish off that pier. And three of the nights, I fished until it went pitch black. We don't get a chance to see the stars here in Winston because of all the light, like we do at the beach. Our God is amazing. What he created, just speaking it into existence, our God is incredible. And I was reminded that there is nothing that I will ever face that he cannot get me through. I see how powerful and big and mighty that he is. He wants us to trust him and to remember he has a whole world in his hands. That's good news. That's good news. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for the glory that you have shown us from the creation of the stars in the sky to the creation of precious children. You have blessed us with a beautiful place to live and great people to go through life with. I pray, Father, that even on the darkest of our days, which many of us are going through right now, that we would be reminded you are on your throne, that Jesus rose from the dead, offering us forgiveness and new life. We come to celebrate and to say thank you and to worship you. Be in this place, we pray, in Jesus' name.
as we come to the baptism waters, it is a time for celebration. It is a time of joy. This morning, Jackson McCrary is coming to let you know that he is accepting Christ as his personal Savior. He wants to take that next step and be faithful in baptism as well. So Jackson, if you would join me in the water, please. While Jackson is here, I want to invite those who are family. If you would join us in standing, as well as all those who have had a part in Jackson's spiritual journey here at College Park, whether it's Sunday school teachers, discipleship, RAs, music, all of you who have had a part of his discipleship journey to this point, would you join us in standing while his parents come and offer a couple of words of encouragement to Jackson?
My dear sweet child, when we first found out we were going to have you, I had no idea of what to expect. Over 7 years later, I still have no idea of what to expect. Your different way of thinking, your challenging questions, and your quirky behavior have kept me on my toes and laughing the whole way through. Don't ever change. From the beginning, I knew there was something a little different with you, something special that most don't have and most can't understand. Don't ever change. Like most parents, I could list pages of what I'm proud of you for. And although I am very proud of your karate accomplishments, school accomplishments, and everything else you've achieved, there are just a few that stand out most. Your love to help people goes beyond anyone else I know, especially at your age. I don't know any other 5-year-old to cry to their teacher after the class saved money for an ice cream party. You told her that you felt your class should use the money to help those in need instead. Because of you, your class bought food and other necessities for some people in need. I don't know any 6-year-old to whisper that they wanted to go when it was announced a group would be going to Fayetteville to help flood victims, and go you did. You worked all day, and the only complaint you had was when they wouldn't let you do more. And I don't know many first graders that would see a classmate with his arm in a sling and immediately take his book bag and walk with him to class. No one has ever asked you to do these things. It is in your heart. You, my child, are going to change the world one day. You've already changed the worlds of those that know you and love you, and some that don't even know you exist. Don't ever change. But the thing I am most proud of is a conversation we had last summer. It's something I've prayed for since the beginning with you. While fishing on a pier, you told me you wanted to ask Jesus into your heart. After we talked, you held my hand and began praying. That prayer ended with you asking Jesus into your heart. Never forget that day. I can't promise you that your road will be easy. You will have people, some will call you a friend, that will challenge you and urge you to get off your path. Use the focus, drive, and determination that God has given you to stay on your path. And when you don't know where your path is leading, if you should turn left or right, stop or go, always remember that God is holding your hand. And when it feels as though he isn't there at all, those are the moments he's carrying you. He's already carried you through some tough times. But every time you've been scared, do you remember what we say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There will be times in your life that the only way you will get through the day is because God has given you the strength to. He will always be there. In the happy and loud times, in the confused times, and in the scary and alone times, he will never leave you. Always know that. Always keep the love of the Lord you have. Keep putting index cards with notes in your Bible. Keep giving thanks for all the little things in your life. Keep looking for the blessings in the mistakes. Keep loving people. Keep saying they are beautiful because that's the way God made them. Keep encouraging people to be the best they can be. And keep loving them when they fall short. Because this is who you are, and you are a beautiful soul. Don't ever change. As I've told you before, you are a good kid. You listen, behave, and work hard. But Jackson, you are a good person. You always let your light shine. Don't ever change. I challenge you to keep reading your Bible, keep praying, allow yourself to grow in the Lord, never quit learning. I wish I could keep you this little forever, but I'm so excited to see where this journey is going to lead you. God has big plans for you, my child. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Remember that always. And always know that myself, your daddy, all of your family, and everyone here at College Park are here for you and truly love you. Never be afraid to ask questions or lean on us for anything. We will all pray you through. Jackson, I love you more than you could possibly ever know. I have no idea why God chose me to be your mother, but I thank him from the bottom of my heart, and especially I thank him for today. I love you, Moose. Congratulations."
Hey, big guy. First, I want to tell you how proud of you I am. Words cannot describe how proud of you, the person that you are. As your mom has already talked about, always wanting to help others without even being asked to. As the Bible states in Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You're a perfect example of this. You truly do let your light shine, and I pray that you always let that light shine for God. You're a great example of when I say to have the eyes of a child. In Matthew 18:3, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." You have so much love for God and life. I will never forget the night that we finished reading our devotion and Bible verses, and I told you, "I love you more than anything." And you looked at me and said, "Daddy, you can't love me more than anything. You're to love God more than anything." I ask you always keep your childlike vision and the love for God that you do. Jackson, I've said it several times, and I truly believe it when I say it. God is using you and will continue to use you to change and make a difference in this world. You have such a big heart for those in need, as your mother has already stated. I ask that you continue to follow God on the path that he's put you on. Now I want you to look around. You've got family members. You've got church family members. And everyone else here. Your mama and myself that love you very much. We are always here to help you along this journey. But always remember, more importantly, God is right there with you. I will leave you with your favorite verse, which is Philippians 4:13. Which is, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I love you, big guy.
Jackson, because you publicly profess Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a privilege, it's an honor, it's a joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Your granny's here, and she has got a candle for you. Your parents have already made reference to the fact you let your light shine before men, and this candle will just remind you daily to do that. Okay, buddy? Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we thank you for the joy that we feel in our hearts now as we hear the testimony of two parents about the precious gift that you've given them. But Father, we also acknowledge that Jackson is our responsibility as well, as the body of believers, as he grows in his knowledge of who you are and who your son is. It's our responsibility to let our light shine before him, even as he lets his light shine before men, so that you can receive the glory. Father, that is our prayer indeed, as a body of believers, that we would love and encourage all believers as we continue to make that journey, knowing who you are, knowing who you are more perfectly, and living out that example. For it's in Christ's name we pray.
Oh, us pray. Lord, we come to you this morning as summer is ending. We are thankful for your creation, and as summer ends, we know that your love and grace for us never ends. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the remembrance this morning of what Jesus has done for each of us on the cross as we take communion. Please accept this offering and multiply it and use it to your will. Bless the giver. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. When we left the baptismal pool, we inadvertently turned the light off on the cross. And I came in, I saw that. I said, well, that's all the wrong message, isn't it? I mean, you know, we're done in there to shut the lights down and move on. Because today we're going to focus in on the cross. In just a few moments, we're going to sing a hymn after we take communion together. And some people call the hymn At the Cross, because that's what you sing in the chorus, right? At the cross where I first saw the light, okay? But it actually, the hymn is Alas and Did My Savior Bleed, and the chorus is actually entitled At the Cross. But as I looked at that, I said, you know, a lot of times we talk about the cross, but we don't come to any type of resolution in our own mind about what difference does the cross make. And somebody at 9 o'clock said, everything. I said, yeah, but what difference does it make personally? We're not talking theologically, intellectually. I'm talking personally. What difference does the cross make in my life, in your life? Personal application. As I was preparing for today, I came across a verse that basically just in my regular study time. It's not a lectionary passage or anything else, but I thought, you know, that would be a good introduction for us. And it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. One God, one mediator, who gave his life as a ransom for all, anyone, everyone, who would accept the price that was paid. I mentioned that we're going to sing a hymn in just a moment. I want to read that hymn to you. If you want to, go ahead and take your hymnal out. Go ahead and take your hymnal out. This would be good exercise for us. It's Alas and Did My Savior Bleed. The hymn, what's the number, Mary? 139 in your hymnal. Okay. All right. Now, as I read through these verses, when I get to verse number 2 and verse number 5, you're going to go, huh? Because they're not actually published, or at least one of them is not published in your book. How many verses are published there? 5? Okay, one of them will be deleted, probably number 2. Here we go. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? That's actually the text. You have an amended text. We'll get to that in just a minute. Original text said, for such a worm as I. Verse 2, which you may not have. Thy body slain, sweet Jesus, thine, and bathed in its own blood, while the firm mark of wrath divine, his soul in anguish stood. Was it for crimes that I had done that he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature's sin? Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears, dissolve my heart in thankfulness, and melt my eyes to tears. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Now, as you look at those texts, those verses, all of them except for the final one have been altered in some form or fashion in hymnals down through the years, including that famous alteration in verse 1, where the last phrase, for such a worm as I, has been changed to, for such a one as I, and as our hymnal reads, for sinners such as I. Now, you say, why was it changed? That's a good question. I have that question in my own heart, in my own mind. The Companion to the Baptist Hymnal, published in 1976, gives us an explanation. Get to that in just a minute. Then Sings My Soul is another great resource if you're interested in the background on hymns. Both of these are good resources. This one actually comes volume 1 and volume 2, so you can can pick those up at the store. But the Baptist Companion, the Companion of the Baptist Hymnal, says that the change from such a worm to I, to for sinners such as I, it says, quote, it was purely a literary consideration and in no way implies theological compromise. Do you buy that? I don't either. No, I don't. I'm sorry, I don't buy that. And based on what I've read about Isaac Watts, the author of this amazing hymn, a longtime pastor in London, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't buy it either. I don't think he would get that. The fact is, the cross forces us to confront our own sin. And more than that, it forces us to confront our deeply seated, sinful, selfish, prideful, arrogant nature. A nature that screams out, I don't want to be called a worm. I don't want to be called a worm. Call me one. That's okay for such a one as I, whatever that means, you know, or even sinner is okay, but don't call me a worm. Now, there's something in our nature that we just don't want to acknowledge our total unworthiness before a holy God whose son was a willing subject, he subjected himself willingly to just absolute total humiliation. Total crucifixion was humiliating as well as excruciating. And we've kind of lost track of that in our 21st century sanitized mindset. It was a terrible, it's probably the most painful, excruciating, humiliating form of death that human beings have ever dreamed up. And he experienced all of that for us. For me, for you, for any of us. He experienced all of that. Another one of Isaac Watts' hymns, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. You know the hymn? Beautiful text. And as I read through that hymn, it gave me further pause about editing, alas, and did my Savior's bleed text. I want to leave that phrase, for such a worm as I, in there. Matter of fact, when we sing it, we're going to sing it that way today. Is that okay? I have the minister of music's permission. We're going to sing verse 1, and when we get to that, for such a worm as I, we need to sing it that way. Unless we doubt Watt's intent in writing the text, the actual title of this hymn is not Alas and Did My Savior Bleed. It's actually, as it was published in 1707, was Godly Sorrow Arising from the Sufferings of Christ. He wanted to make sure we knew and fathomed the extent of the suffering of our Savior. Godly sorrow. And yet, God not only allowed it, He set the plan in place for us, for me, for you, for any of us. He put the plan in place. So how do we respond to it? That determines, in effect, what significance the cross has for us. How do we respond to His act of sacrifice? Verse 6 does about as good, verse 5 in your hymnal, tells about as good as I guess we can say, but drops of grief can ne'er repay. The debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Fanny Crosby, you know that name? Yeah. Fanny, she wrote a great number of hymns, wonderful hymns. The story goes in 1851, when she was 31 years of age, she attended a revival service at John Street Methodist Church in New York. She recalls her experience this way, quote, after a prayer was offered, they began to sing the grand old consecration hymn, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed? And when they reached the third line of the last stanza, here, Lord, I give myself away, my very soul was flooded with celestial light. how divinely appointed that Isaac Watts, years after his death, had a part in the conversion of Fanny Crosby, who would become arguably the leader in a new wave of wonderful hymn writers. You say, well, how do we get the refrain then? You said the refrain we sing is not really, it's not a part of the original text. There's actually two refrains that have been associated with this hymn. The first refrain is the refrain that you see printed in your hymnal. It was published in 1885. It's credited to Ralph Hudson. And it says, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, and it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. The tune that Hudson used for this refrain most likely came out of the camp meetings. That was a time in our nation's history where they had a lot of big tent revivals and camp meetings and all of that. The other refrain, interestingly enough, is also credited to the camp meeting tradition, although it's credited at an earlier date, in 1868. And it reads like this: I do believe that Jesus died for me. And through his blood, his precious blood, I am set free from, I am from sin set free. And through his blood, his precious blood, I am from sin set free. Now, to be honest with you, I like to sing the refrain that's in our hymnal because it's got a really cool bass line. Doesn't it, bassist? Yeah. It's a good bass line. But theologically speaking, I prefer the second one because it is a response to each of the verses. As you read that theological truth that Isaac Watts wrote down, then the refrain is, I do believe that Jesus died for me. And through his blood, his precious blood, I am from sin set free. It's a testimony. It is a sung testimony to the reality of what Jesus did. Really, the only objection I have to the refrain we sing is the last line. Look at that. Are you happy all the day? There's days when I'm not happy all the day. I think I'm joyful most of the day. But you know, happiness is one of those things that's kind of an emotion, and we've talked about that before. I'm not going to argue theologically with it. I'm just saying, you know, when we say that, we need to understand that we may not be happy all the day, but we can certainly be joyful in spite of life's circumstances. So in light of all of this, what then should be our response to the cross? We can sing about it. We can talk about it. We can preach about it. We can read about it. The question is, are we going to live our response to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us? Are we going to live it out? We've already experienced and witnessed the baptism waters. I think that's the kind of part of the process as we receive Christ and then we're obedient to him. We follow his example in baptism. But beyond that, we need to follow his example daily. What does it mean to live as Christ? What does that mean? I think it's a constant process of examination through the power of the Holy Spirit, examining our own hearts and our own lives as we come to the table. That's part of the process. Examination. Repentance. Father, I know in and of myself I am not worthy of your grace and your mercy, but it's because of the sacrifice of Jesus that I ask that you forgive me. I ask that you guide me and strengthen me for the journey. That's the kind of reflection that should take place as we gather around the Lord's table. Let me give you a few words of practical instruction as we come to the Lord's table. If you are here and you are a believer, even though you're not a member of College Park, we invite you to join with us in communion. We practice what they call open communion, which just means that if you're a believer, we want to commune with you. Understand, it is communing together as well as communing with God. That's why he put the church in place, to allow us to commune together. As the deacons come down and pass the tray to you, part of that communing together is to serve the person beside you. Don't just take it and grab one and pass on. Let yourself be served, and then you in turn serve the person beside you. That is the act of communing together. And then as we take the bread together, as we instruct you to take the bread, that is the part of the act that is indeed communing with God. So if you're here, we invite you to join with us as we commune now together. You know, he was talking about his body being broken. He says he broke the bread. And I wonder if they really got the full extent of that. We've talked about this before, but I wonder if they really understood the nature of what he was going to experience. We know from history that many of them experienced the same type of death that he did, as it turns out. Did they have any clue that night really what was going to happen? How could they? How could human beings do that to the Son of God? How could human beings do that to this man who had nothing but love to give? How indeed could we do that? Maybe the text "for such a worm as I" makes more sense in light of that conversation. But he said, knowing all of that was going to take place, he still said, take and eat with me. Take and eat. We know from the text that when he took the cup, he said something along the line of, this is a new covenant in my blood. And as I read that over and over and over again, and I've dwelt on this before, But today it takes on new meaning because if I truly am so unworthy, then grace becomes an even more incredible gift, doesn't it? In my total unworthiness, God in Christ gave us a new chance, a new covenant, a new agreement, which takes us from a worm to a new creation in Christ. From the worm to the caterpillar, if you're a visual person and you want to see it that way. A new creation in Christ. What does that look like in your own heart? Have you received that grace? None of us are worthy, but it's because of that that grace is such an incredible gift. If you've not received it, receive it even as you take and drink. This morning, I mentioned in the baptismal waters that we have a responsibility to Jackson. We have a responsibility to his parents. We have a responsibility to each other. And hopefully through what we've talked about, we've sung about, we've read, we've experienced together this morning, it kind of takes you back, maybe to your baptism, maybe to the first time you took communion, maybe to the first time that you heard about Jesus Christ, who he is, and what an impact, what a change he can bring about in your own life. So as we covenant together with Jackson, I want to invite you, as I will read the light-colored print, I want to invite you to read the dark-colored print with the covenant with new believer as printed in your order of service. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers for each other and this new believer?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ and be faithful to pray for those who are lost?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ by ministering to all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
These things we covenant together before God. Amen. We're going to stand and sing the hymn that I've been ranting about this morning. And I want to invite you during that time, if you have a decision you'd like to make, whether that's a first-time decision to receive Christ or perhaps a rededication or reaffirmation of your faith, or perhaps you would be interested in joining College Park. There are a lot of ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. The altar will be open here if you just need to come and pray. Certainly you can take care of business with God right where you're standing and singing. But if you'd like to talk with me, I'll be here no matter what your decision is. If you'd like to make that decision public, I invite you to do so as we stand and sing together now. remain standing for just a minute. Jackson, come here, buddy. I've got a couple things I want to give you here. The first is your certificate of baptism, okay? You hang on to that. Get Mom to frame it up for you, okay? And you can remember today by that. But also, a new Bible. Mom was talking about how you read your Bible, and I would want to give you a new Bible that kind of helps you advance a little bit. So you hang on to that and read that every day and grow to be more like Christ, okay? All right, he'll also keep his candle as a reminder of this day. So it's been a wonderful day, wonderful experience. I want to invite you to come by at the conclusion service, speak a word of encouragement to Jackson and Mom and Dad and their whole family. Meet family if you've not met them, had an opportunity to do that. As we go from here, we'll have benediction, response, then greet one another. Not just Jackson and his family, but greet one another, encourage one another. If you see guests around you, be sure and speak a word of encouragement to them. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for this day, the joy that we feel on a day like today. And Father, we've joked about it, that we may not feel happy all the day, but certainly we can feel joyful all the day. And we thank you for that, and it's because of your Son, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.